So, I'd like to start this sermon with some questions. So, what do you think about religion, though? What is the purpose of religion? What do you think? What's the purpose of religion? Peace? World peace or individual wealth? What do you think? Both. Hope. Thank you. And anyone else?
Guidance.
Guidance. Thank you. Guidance. Anyone else?
Live by the commandment.
Commandment. Thank you. And anyone else?
I guess there's a difference between religion and faith.
Yep.
Hmm. So religion is sort of thought to be maybe the guidelines and rules within them.
Mm.
Religion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rather than talking necessarily about faith and
yep.
the spiritual need we attach
mm.
things.
Yep. Thank you, Jenny.
And the different religions in our own country.
Mm. Yep. Now each country, they have some different the religious background, and the religion must be mixed by their culture and their context, right? That's right, yeah. So why do people believe in religions? I think it's the same question. So I think religions likely emerged in early human history to address the fundamental human desires for survival, make sense of the future, and overcome the fear of death. When each religion was founded, it would have been well suited to the social circumstances of that time, incorporating the ideas and aspirations of the people living then. Interestingly, as a religion persists within a society or a culture, over time, the social conditions that gave rise to it gradually evolve. Let's look at some traditions of Islam as an example. According to the Quran, a man is permitted to have up to 4 wives. I think most of you know that. 4 wives, yep. However, at least according to Orthodox doctrine, Islam allows polygamy but does not necessarily recommend it. It is said that in the early days of Islam, when it was stated that a man could have up to 4 wives, the nobles and wealthy individuals of that time were dissatisfied. This was because it was common practice in Arab countries then to have dozens of wives. During that period, ordinary Arab people were living in a harsh desert environment where men frequently died in wars. So no one complained about polygamy. It is because the early practice of polygamy in the Islamic world was intended to provide, wait, where is that? Sorry. Yep, sorry. To provide a livelihood for widows who had lost their husbands due to war and had no means of supporting themselves. In a way, it was a form of social welfare for that era. So the reason for allowing 4 wives was to prevent the excessive greed of the nobles and wealthy individuals of the time, and to save the lives of widows who had lost their husbands due to war. This practice fulfilled the needs of the Arab world at that time. However, the current situation is entirely different from when Islam first emerged. In the modern Islamic world, it is extremely rare for a man to actually have more than two wives. So I Googled. So the Google said less than 1% of Islamic world have more than two wives, but most of them, they have only one wife. And also, if the Islamic man want to marry another woman, he must ask his first wife to allow the second marriage. But the first wife, I don't think so she want to allow the second wife. That's the reality of Islamic world right now. So in other words, the true meaning of polygamy in Islam is to provide care and support for widows, orphans, and underprivileged in society. That's the true meaning of that law. Like these religious laws and teachings then face the challenges of keeping pace with these changing social situations. In other words, while the canonical religious texts themselves remain unchanged as written, the theological interpretations and understanding of those texts continue to adapt and develop. This is because the society we live in is constantly changing. So, when interpreting religious scriptures like the Bible, it is crucial not only to consider the literal meaning, but also to understand the historical context and background behind the laws and stories, and then apply the fundamental meaning to the contemporary world we inhabit. In the Gospel reading today, we encounter a crucial moment in which Jesus challenges the rigid interpretation of the law by the religious authorities of his time. The Pharisees accuse Jesus' disciples of breaking the Sabbath law by plucking grain to eat. And in response, Jesus reminds them of the story of David, who ate the consecrated bread when he was hungry, an act that was technically unlawful. Jesus' words and actions highlight a profound truth. The law was given to serve humanity, not the other way around. The Sabbath was intended as a day of rest and rejuvenation, a gift from God, but the religious leaders had turned it into a burden, a web of endless rules and regulations that suffocated the very spirit of the law. In the same vein, the passage from 2 Corinthians echoes this sentiment, reminding us that we are not servants of the law, but ministers of the life-giving gospel of Jesus Christ. As Paul writes, "For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake." The question before us today is this: what is truly important? What is important? Is it the rigid adherence to every letter of the law, or is it the spirit of love, compassion, and mercy that lies at the heart of God's commandments? in the gospel accounts, we see Jesus consistently prioritizing the needs of people over the rigid observance of religious rules. He healed on the Sabbath, showed compassion to the marginalized and challenged the self-righteousness of the religious elite. His life was a living testament to the truth that the law was made for humanity, not humanity for the law. When the law becomes an impediment to these higher virtues, it has lost its purpose. Jesus' life and teaching make it clear that the law was never meant to be an end in itself. My brothers and sisters in Endeavor Hills United Church, today we are called to follow in his footsteps to be ministers of the life-giving gospel, to let the love of Christ shine through our words and actions. This may sometimes mean challenging the status quo, pushing against the boundaries of what is considered acceptable or proper in order to truly live out the spirit of Christ's teachings. But in doing so, we must be guided by the love of God. Our aim must always be to bring more love, more mercy, more grace into the world, to be vessels of Christ's life-giving message. As we navigate the complexities of our modern world, let us never lose sight of this fundamental truth. The law was given to us as a gift, a guide to help us love one another more fully. When we cling to the letter of the law at the expense of its spirit, we risk losing our way, becoming servants of the law rather than servants of the gospel. Instead, let us strive to be true disciples of Jesus, letting his life shine forth in our own lives, and bringing the light of his love and mercy into a world that so desperately needs it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, fill our hearts with your love and compassion. Guide us to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, prioritizing mercy and grace over rigid rules. May we be vessels of your life-giving gospel, bringing your light and love into the world. In the name of Christ, our source of strength and hope. Amen.